On this week's Ludini Rock and Roll Circus podcast, we're going to tell you about the greatest tracks from classic albums that never made the radio, but should have. No. We're not counting your favorite internet radio station or satellite radio. We're talking like regular radio. So we're gonna welcome back our brother Keith the Hawk Hawkins as well. So Keith is back in the house. And we've got a special guest, Marty Catani from MartyTunes.com. So it's all coming up right now. Get ready to rock out with your talk out. It's the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. All right, everybody, welcome back. It is the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini, a.k.a. Ludini, a.k.a. Ludini. That sounds like pig Latin or something.
It does.
It's making me sound, screwing up my head. So we are back. It is, we're at the end of January already.
Sure are.
So this 2021 is already speeding by. Which I think a lot of us are just kind of like, let's get to the good stuff.
Let's get to
isn't that kind of how everybody's sort of feeling about the situation?
I feel about that, so that's where I'm at.
Let's get to the good stuff. Shows and whatnot. But you want to go to lulombardimusic.com. We have free downloads. You can become a part of my inner circle group where there's a lot of cool happenings and folks hanging out. So check that out at lulombardimusic.com. Shout out to our sponsor, Wolf's Customs. Wolf'sCustoms.online. No sense, guys, going out there and playing gigs. You know, the gigs are coming up. You know, before that happens, get a hold of Wolf'sCustoms.online and get a professional custom paint job on your musical instrument. This is the way you're going to stand out. You're really going to attract the right people.
Yes.
You're going to attract the record executives and the A&R people.
The groupies.
Of course Lily had to go to the groupies. But all kidding aside, it's a really good thing to do. You know, everybody's got the same kind of boring looking guitars all the time. This way you can come out, you can stand out with a very cool looking musical instrument. It does drums, basses, whatever you want. Go to wolfscustoms.online. Check it out. Shout out to Rock Rage Radio. We love you guys. Thank you so much for hosting the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. And so many cool things are coming up. Last week we had we had SOS 2020. PGH on Eric, and it was a lot of fun, and we played the song. This was cool. I hope you guys check that out. You want to go to SOS2020PGH.org. Save our stages so that when this stuff does open, we have somewhere to go play a gig. It doesn't
instead
help
instead of Lou's backyard.
Instead of, yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with Lou's backyard. My backyard.
Zing.
Speaking of my backyard. Anyways, Keith, I'll tell you about my backyard later. Keith, what's going on? Keith the Hawk Hawkins is back.
It's going, man. It's going. You know, just trying to get this year started off better. Well, last year started off good.
Except for Neil Peart, it died.
You know, we're trying to get some like upward trend going on right now. So let's just, we want to trend upward. So let's.
How was the recording? You went to do some recording.
Things aren't always what they appear to be. Okay. Let me tell you that much.
You want to talk about that right now?
We'll just leave it at that. There's a lot of this, but not a lot of follow through. Man, a lot of talking action going on in the world.
I understand. Well,
I think a lot of people are just too paranoid or just too broke, man. Which is probably both.
Well, I got to tell you what, man. Somebody who followed through this week was my urologist.
Yeah.
Hell?
I got my first, and I'm just putting it out on the podcast because why not? I got my first ever prostate exam.
Oh boy. How's that?
How was that?
When I saw the glove, man, I was like, I knew I was in trouble.
You tensed, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, dude. So he's like, bend over, and I couldn't stop laughing. I was just laughing. I was like,
that's
in hysterics
so like
the whole time. And then he's like talking, because I was laughing so much, I couldn't understand what he was saying. And he was saying like, oh, you don't have to buy me chocolates or anything. But all I heard was chocolate. I'm going like, oh, my God, is there some chocolate up there? Because I had gone that morning, and I didn't realize that I was like going to have like a finger up my butthole. or else I would have, I would have showered that,
They're used to that. It's okay.
But it was a little odd, so.
They've seen worse.
But it was my first one, and I was okay.
Well, congratulations.
It was quick.
quick and dirty.
But, they really go up to the elbow, like they say.
Okay, now listen. That bit in, you've seen the movie Fletch,
yes.
Chevy Chase. That bit in there, you know, where the guy's really rooting around. That's not what it is. It's like just barely in there, boop boop, and you're done.
Quick and dirty, just like you like it.
Quick and dirty. That was hot.
Ha ha.
Quick and dirty, baby. So that's how we're starting the podcast out today.
The dirty days.
Good stuff.
Lou talks about
it. My whole night has been made.
We are trying to get Marty Catani on, and he's having some technical difficulties. So hopefully he is able to make it on. If not, we'll do something else with Marty at some point. But hopefully he gets on because he's a cool dude, almost. And I'm really looking forward to talking to him. Tonight we have a really cool... I'm sorry. We have Lily V6. I'm sorry.
As per usual, Keith. As per usual, I haven't done anything fun except for I did do photo shoots. So if anybody's seen my crazy demonic doll photo shoot, I did that and some promo shoots for Rock Rage over the weekend. That's what I did.
Wow.
Yes.
That's just crazy.
Oh, and I am going to go see the Complete Sabbath Experience on Friday at the Craft House.
I thought that was this Friday.
Coming up.
Oh, it's the one coming up.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, if I'm not having anybody look up my poop hole, I might come.
You like it now, don't you?
Exciting.
You should just every randomly knock on the door and be like, you know what, man, that was such a good one in person. I'm coming back for a sloppy second.
Sick.
Oh, my goodness. Anyways, guys, welcome back. It is fun to be here. I had a very bizarre day. The proctological thing was yesterday. Today, I'm going to save it. I'll tell you guys later. I want to get into the topic. We'll get into it. I had a very bizarre day. I'll tell you guys about it later. But let's get into this topic because, you know, and I asked you guys to tell me a few too. Songs that are like great songs, but don't really get any, they never weren't really hits, but they're still good songs. They're great bands.
Legit.
So we're going to go around the room. I have a handful. I'm sure Lily has a handful. Yeah. Keith has a handful. Got a handful there.
Not a handful.
I don't know what happened. It used to be different, but over the years, things just erode.
All right. So we're going to start with Keith because he's back and we really missed him. And I'm so happy that he's here. So, Keith, why don't you talk to us about something that a track that you think is really cool that just never really kind of got its due?
I feel this is a song that I kind of maybe missed the mark. It's a great song by arguably the greatest rock and roll band of all time. I had trouble finding out where the hell this was at, but it was actually on the soundtrack to the 1969 movie Yellow Submarine. This song's called Hey Bulldog by the Beatles.
Nice.
It is a very, very cool riff in the song. I mean, you can go on and on. You could have a whole show on just Beatles songs that maybe weren't hits because all their songs are so great. But Hey Bulldog has like a heavier vibe to it. It was, from what I understand, it was written off a piano riff, so that's, you know, maybe a little different for the Beatles at the time. So it's a good Paul McCartney penned ditty that's just it's got a nice groove to it, and I think it's a good song that maybe just didn't get enough attention.
Cool. From the film Yellow Submarine, which is really fun. You ever seen it?
I have seen it. It's been a hot minute. Yes, I have seen it.
Yeah, I came home one, I was like in eighth grade or something, and I came home and it was like on the after school special or something.
Oh, okay.
And that was my introduction to it, and I freaking loved it because the music was so good. It's completely like crazy, like kind of makes no sense, but...
No, it's out there, yeah. The music's so cool that when you were a kid, you were watching those cartoons, and it was like they kind of did the whole same thing all the time. But that was like
the
music's what sucked you in. Even at a young age, I was like, "Oh, that's a good music." I don't know who it is, but then you find out.
Yeah. So cool.
Word.
Hey, Bulldog, the Beatles, Yellow Submarine. We're gonna throw it over to our friend Lily V6.
So I just want to preface this with several minor songs that people are going to know but didn't make radio until like satellite and internet and Spotify and all those things happened. But they're sort of reminders that there are other good songs on the albums besides the ones that were released as a single on the radio. But that's not my first one. My first one is actually going to be In the Light by Led Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah.
But you could say that, like, all of Led Zeppelin's songs never really made the radio. But this is the one I chose from Physical Graffiti. This one sort of was more of a progressive rock one. And, you know, I'm not really into progressive rock, but I really like this song. The album itself was super commercially and critically acclaimed. But this one really isn't one of the songs people talk about a whole lot. I like it because of the chanting in the beginning and the violin bow on the acoustic guitar by Paige. And that's what I have to say about that.
Okay, cool.
People say it was the disappointment on the album. I disagree.
What?
Yeah, I've read that a lot today.
Get the hell out of here.
And I love that song.
Me three.
You three?
Okay, I'm going to... I have so many on my list. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
just go ahead.
Crazy.
Just pick one.
My list is very eclectic, like my music tastes are. So I'm like all over the place. All over the place. But I'm going to pick... this song was one of the songs I bought. I bought this record as a teenager. And I can't remember where this comes on the album. I think it might open the second side. I don't think it opens the album. But when it came to this song, when Chrissy Hynde sang Bad Boys Get Spanked, I started to get like a funny feeling. Like, you know, in my nether regions. And
climb the rope in gym class, right?
I think that, yes, I think that Chrissy Hynde, The Pretenders, Bad Boys Got Spanked, turned me into the pervert that I am today.
Yeah, that was it.
It's on Pretenders 2. It is a really good rocking tune, too. Just like really kick-ass. It's like the most rocking tune. The album is great. Everybody knows Message of Love and Brass in Pocket and all those great, amazing songs. but Bad Boys Get Spanked is a track that does not get its due. And if you haven't heard it or haven't heard it in a while, YouTube, Spotify.
You can find it.
It's all out there. All right. So that is my first pick, my first round draft choice for today. What do you got, Hawk?
I'm going to have to stay in that Physical Graffiti neighborhood because I had one off on my list that was off of Physical Graffiti. It's the second track on the album. It's called The Rover, and I think it's just a classic Zeppelin tune that didn't get enough punch, you know, enough to talk about either. It starts with that classic... John Bonham drum intro, the great Jimmy Page riff in the beginning, and it just has a nice funky groove when it comes in, and that's one of them songs. I think that's a pretty tough album to like kind of break down bad songs on, but that's one that I think should have got some more
play,
love. I would say. Some more love in the game.
Okay, so we've got a couple of we got some Led Zeppelin fans in the house tonight.
Zeppelin can have several of these off every album. I mean, it's hard to really come up with it. You know, I don't even know how many I have written down, but there's at least four Zeppelin ones, and it's all
really?
Off different albums. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm way too into Zeppelin, but I mean, there's some Zeppelin songs I think don't get any credit whatsoever, and they're really good songs. Like The Rover.
All right. I have one I think might be on your... I'm not going to... I do have a Led Zeppelin song on my list. It's funny, we have a Led Zeppelin song.
We all picked one. Amazing.
But I don't have three, but one, there's one in my head, and I'm just going to, if you don't mention it, I'll throw it out at the end, because it's one of these great Led Zeppelin songs that doesn't really get any radio work. So, Lily, what do you got?
The next one on my list is going to be Bleed For Me by Black Label Society from 1919 Eternal. So five of the songs from the album... sessions were written by Zakk Wylde for Ozzy Osbourne's album Down to Earth, but Ozzy rejected all these songs. He said it's not Ozzy style, doesn't sound Ozzy. So he
I'm
said
sorry,
no.
What was the name of the album again?
1919 Eternal. So Zakk kept them for his own album. Bleed For Me was one of them. Doesn't sound very Ozzy, it is more Black Label. First track on the album, it might be one of their hardest and most underappreciated tracks. It rocks super hard. Whenever I was reading about this song, it's usually ranked between 3 and 6 on people's Black Label Society list.
Cool.
But this is the song that people don't say anything about. So apparently it was the disappointment as the very opening track on the album. But I love it. I think it's underrated. So, and it's also said that it's a beginner BLS song. So if you don't like Black Label, you start with that song.
It kind of breaks you into BLS.
Yeah.
Not BLM. BLS. Sorry. That BLM is something completely different.
There's your head again.
I know. You know me. Okay. And now for something completely different. This album, most people know this album for two really big songs that were huge in the 90s. The Distance and, of course, Cake's remake of...
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
You know the song. It's the song every girl gets up and sings at karaoke. What's the song? I Will Survive.
Oh, I don't sing that, but okay.
Okay. Those are the big hits off of this album. But this album is full of little musical nuggets that if you open your mind a little bit, you hear some great tunes on it. There's really not like a real loser on the album. It's all very cool stuff. They cover a lot of musical landscapes with this record. They go a lot of different places. But they have like a rockabilly, almost skiffle kind of song called Stick Shifts and Safety Belts. And it is one of these infectious songs that put a big smile on your face. It's just really, really fun. The lyrics are very, very clever. And it's a kind of sweet, romantic song with a neat little beat. And of course, the cake guy, and I'm sorry, I forget his name.
The cake guy.
Does that great kind of half singing, half talking thing that is just freaking awesome. And it works perfect. Stick Shifts and Safety Belts. Cake from the album Fashion Nugget.
The baker is the cake guy.
Now we're back to Keith. I hope you guys are enjoying it. And throw some comments at us, guys, of some of your songs. And we'll give you some shout-outs and you know, all that jazz. Go ahead. Who's Keith?
It's Keith.
Well, this is hard to pick off this one because I think that we had this one on an old podcast, which was albums that are masterpieces. And I think that, in my opinion, Soundgarden Super Unknown album is a masterpiece. But... That's wrong. Bad Motorfinger is one I'm talking about because I got one from that one too. But Bad Motorfinger has a song called Jesus Christ Pose on it, which is a complete rocker. And there's the ones from the Super Unknown album, and it's hard to pick between the two, but definitely the Jesus Christ Pose is just rocking from start to finish, man. It's got some great drum work by Matt Cameron, and it's got, you know, the iconic voice of Chris Cornell, and the that album's really good too. But I think people remember Rusty Cage and Outshined and, you know, songs like that. But I think that Jesus Christ Pose sits right in there, man, and just is definitely a rocker that probably don't get the credit it deserves.
Okay, you're making me you're reminding me of a song. I'm gonna add it. I don't know if I get a chance to talk to it. Go ahead, Lily. What do you got?
So the next one on my list is actually Children of the Damned, Iron Maiden, Number of the Beast. I think we can all agree that this whole album is amazing. Did receive commercial and critical acclaim. Controversial album because of the references and the artwork and the title tracks, lyrics. The two heavily played songs on the album are Number of the Beast and Run to the Hills, which everybody knows.
Run to the hills.
But I think this song could have gotten a little more love. It's one of the forgotten songs. People may not be as familiar with. Unless you're super familiar with Iron Maiden, as I am in love with them, and try to find a reason to talk about them on every single podcast. But in true to Iron Maiden form, it tells a story based off of the 1964 British black and white film of the same name. But shame on people who only know the two singles. Go out and stream this album and educate yourself, because this is a great song.
Well, see that you just said something really good. You said stream this album, because there's no excuse to not listen to these album tracks now, right? Because
you can find it everywhere. Everything everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have the technology.
Okay. Which one I want to talk. There's so many. What's happening is these guys are talking, and I'm remembering now. It's like the floodgates are opening.
Here it all
comes. I'm going to pick this one. This is a song. This was not a very big Kansas album. It had a couple of minor hits on it, like Hold On and Got to Rock On, which are really cool songs. It's a pretty cool album, but there's a couple of tracks on this, and since like it's a not very well-known album, I'm going to do a two for Tuesday. Wow, see how I did that? I'm going to do a two for Tuesday on this one, because I'm going to pick two songs off of this record. Loner and Relentless. Just freaking amazing. Loner is like one of Steve Walsh's most insane vocal performances ever. It's just I mean, it really showcases what he can do. And the band rocks really, really, really hard on that song. And it is got, it, you know, kind of what Rush had started to do, which is like, yes, we're progressive, but we can take all that progressiveness and we can craft that into like a 3 to 4 minute rock tune. You know, we don't have to do 20-minute songs to still do, like, you know, Rush was putting out songs like Tom Sawyer and everything. It's this album came out, I believe, the same year, around the same time. And Kansas was kind of doing the same thing. Instead of these 6-7 minute things, they had found a way to take what they were doing and kind of, you know, make it a little more succinct and a little more to the point. Relentless, I believe, is a kind of like follow-up to Carry On Wayward Son. It's got a lot of similar elements. The lyrics are very moving, very beautiful. Of course, it's Kansas. And the thing I always loved about Kansas is, you know, a lot of, you know, my friend Scott Paulson is famous for saying that Kansas is one of the bands that remembers the rock in progressive rock. They're a real rock and roll band. They can really play, and they have great songs. Kansas, Audio Visions, Loner, and Relentless.
Nice.
Hawk, what are you going to say next?
Oh, my.
Oh, is it my turn?
Oh, yes. Yeah, baby. It's your turn all night long.
I just want to hear, you might disagree with, but I think that you were talking about prog rock bands that can kind of straighten it out a little bit and play, but this, and play just like a 3 or 4 minute song. This song was probably the hit off the Counterparts album. But it showed me a different side of Rush. I know they made a video for it, but I don't think it's like a radio staple like all their songs. And Stick It Out is one that just takes me to the point where I know that Rush can actually write a straightforward song if you want them to. And that was like one of them songs that was proof of that. Because even Geddy Lee said he just loved it. It's a good riff song, but it's a real straight ahead song. No crazy time signature changes. It's just a good rocker. And it's got a great riff to it. Good hook. And I don't think it gets the... You know, it's never going to be up there with the Spirit of Radio and Tom Sawyer and all the like, but it's one of them songs where I think Rush kind of went in a little bit of a different direction there. So
yeah, they had broke it down.
Straightforward rock. Yeah. Straightforward rock song.
That is a really cool album. I freaking love Cold Fire. Just top to bottom. That's really good. And it is just the kind of back to basics. The producer on that album, who I do not remember his name off the top of my head, famously took Alex Lifeson's pedal board away from him. Said he was not allowed to use it, and Alex threw a little hissy fit. He was very upset, but he learned to play without it. And he talked about it in Guitar Player Magazine. He's like rediscovered kind of like what they were doing on the first Rush album when they didn't have any of that. They just, okay, how do we play with guitar, bass, and drums? Awesome picks. Awesome pick, Keith. Awesome pick. What do you got, Lily?
Before I do my next pick, Marty actually chimed in. He can't get on to the podcast, but his is from Elton John's Honky Chateau, Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatters.
Oh,
which
great
is a great song. I love that.
Sometimes
song.
You discover songs from movies. Where did you ever hear that song before?
Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatter. I don't know. Where?
It's an almost famous.
I thought Tiny Dancer.
That probably is.
Towards the end, we're there in the one of the hotel scenes.
Okay.
Toward the middle, towards the end, but it's right before she ODs on the Quaaludes.
Oh,
it's a Quaalude song.
It's lovely.
Okay,
this is the Quaalude song.
So
what do you got, Lily?
So now my pick is If You Want Blood, You've Got It, off of AC/DC's Highway to Hell.
Yes,
1979. It was the last album featuring lead singer Bon Scott, who obviously passed away. They borrowed the title from the band's live album from the previous year and stemmed from Scott's response to a journalist at the Day on the Green Festival in 1978 when asked what they could expect from the band. Scott replied, "Blood." The song never got featured on the radio, just in films, but the films it's featured in is Empire Records. Everybody, if you've seen it, you know the famous scene where Joe gets mad and he's pounding on the drums. It's one of my favorite scenes ever in a movie. The Longest Yard, Shoot 'Em Up, Final Destination 5, and Dukes of Hazzard. Actually, the first time I heard it was during the scene from Empire Records. Hooked immediately. Should have gotten more love, especially since it was the name of one of the live albums prior, I think. But the biggest ones on that album were Highway to Hell, Girls Got Rhythm, Touch Too Much, and Night Prowler. But if you want blood,
Richard Ramirez is
the Night
song.
Prowler, yes. Who was wearing apparently an AC/DC shirt when he got caught.
Weird. Do, 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 do. Oh, my goodness. Okay, since everybody's talked about Led Zeppelin, I haven't talked about Led Zeppelin yet. I love Led Zeppelin, and I could have put 20 Led Zeppelin songs there, but I only went with one. I tried to mix up a bit. This is a song that's got a kind of a funny lyric to it, and I remember getting this album, and when I heard Squeeze My Lemon Till the Juice Runs Down My Leg, I was like...
Oh,
I started laughing. You know, I was about 15 years old.
Oh, boy.
I still laugh at that part. I laughed at it the other day.
Some things never change.
And it's on Led Zeppelin 2, which, like, everybody knows every song on that record. But the Lemon song is a little bit of a pariah. And I think a little bit because of the lyrics. It is, you know, it's one of those, like, you might hear it on a Lost Classics weekend, or you might hear it, if you're from Pittsburgh, you might hear, hey, Michelle, can you get some Lemon song on for the lunch on WDBE in Pittsburgh? But other than that, it's just a kind of like a, you know, the sort of naughty stepchild of Led Zeppelin. It's on Led Zeppelin too. It's a great song. Great riff. Killer guitar tone. Great layered guitars that go back and forth. It's all kind of cool. Page is doing all kind of cool stuff with Echo. The band is just rocking, of course. They're hungry. It's their second album. They're really kind of finding their sound. And it's a killer track. Cool lyric. You know, kind of a, you know, naughty song. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
The Lemon song, Led Zeppelin 2. What you got, Hawk?
I'm going to go a little bit more pop on you asses, but this one was hard to pick because I think, if I'm not, I might be wrong. I think it's actually the first or second song on the album. But since the entire album could be a greatest hits package, I picked Secondhand News by Fleetwood Mac off Rumors because it's a cool song that just doesn't get its due because every other goddamn song on the record is a hit. I mean, when you're stacked up against all that. I mean, I've heard it on the radio, maybe at electric, like you said, on an electric lunch one time or something years ago.
One
but
time.
It's not a song that just doesn't get a ton of radio airplay, but I think it's a cool, very cool, like, you know, real driving rock song that just, they all sounded great at that point. It's, you know,
lay me down in the tall grass, let me do my stuff.
That's right. But yeah, that one there has it's a fun upbeat tune. So that's, you know, like I said, I don't quote me, but I think it's the first or second track on the record, but don't quote me on that.
It's full of it's got some great guitar work by Lindsey Buckingham.
And yeah, he sounds great on that. I mean, that's definitely one of his, you know.
And of course,
he always sounds good vocally, but I mean, his guitar playing is underrated as hell. So,
good pick, Keith. Good pick. Good pick. You're listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Go to loulombardimusic.com. Also, don't forget to talk to if you need a custom paint job on your guitar, violin, swinette, harp,
triangle,
sousaphone, triangle, wolfscustoms.online. And thank you, Rock Rage Radio. Lily, what do you got?
I actually am going to piggyback off of Keith's Rumors and choose Songbird because I think that's the other one on the album that's not as known. It's released as the B-side of Dreams. One of the ones written solely by Christine McBee, and I'm not really a Christine fan. I'm a Stevie fan. But this is it's a fantastic song. She wrote it in half an hour. When she went to record it, nobody was around. It was this really cool concert style. They put, like, roses on the piano and had light shining down. It was super elegant and everything. It got popular when Willie Nelson did it and also Ava Cassidy, who was a blues singer. Not as cool because they didn't write it, so kind of wish Christine would have got a little more credit for that or a little more play for that song.
Okay. Well, that's a good pick. That's a good pick. I'm trying to, because some of these, I have some of the, not same songs, but some of the same artists and albums that you guys have. So I'm trying to kind of pick some other ones here. But this record, you know, there's certain records, and Keith, you probably have, we could even do a podcast on, we each talk about a record that changed our lives, right?
Mm.
We all have those. And this record, just like jaw on floor, just was like nothing I had ever heard in my life. And that was Outlandish D'Amour by The Police. That is just, I mean, this is, you know, ladies and gentlemen, The Police. It's the introduction to The Police. And there's a lot of great songs on it. Everybody knows Roxanne, of course. I Can't Stand Losing You. And, you know, the couple of those songs. But there's a great tune on there. And great harmonies, great bass line by Sting called Hole in My Life. And if you, it's super poppy and super catchy, great lyrics as always. But you should check it out. If you've not listened to Outlandish D'Amour in a long time, go back and listen to it and check out Hole in My Life. I think it's a fantastic song. There you have it. The Police. What you got, Hawk?
Man, I've got a Police one all chalked up too. Maybe I should go somewhere else. Let's go with so I just did a pop one with Fleetwood Mac. Let's go a little heavier and get some classic metal for y'all here. This album, you know, it's tough to pick a bad track too, but a track that I think was a staple, if not still to this day, in their live show, but it's also on the same album as Ride the Lightning, Fade to Black, and, you know, the title track. But I think Creeping Death from Ride the Lightning is just a massive song that probably is, that middle is heavy as hell, and it probably doesn't get the love it needs. I mean, the diehard Metallica fans love it, but I think it's a song that probably is just as good or better than a lot of the songs on that record, and it's, you know, kind of definitely wouldn't be the ones you would think of right off the top of your head if you would think about like songs like Fade to Black and For Whom the Bell Tolls and etc.
Cool.
But that definitely one that I think that I think even in back in the Dead Age opener shows with it. So
good picks. Everybody's got good picks. What do you got, Lily?
Next on my list is from an album we talked about 2 weeks ago. It's Don't Get Mad, Get Even by Aerosmith on Pump. We just discussed it. Filled with huge hits. This was not one of the hits. Completely overlooked. It's sort of bluesy, which is what Aerosmith's roots is the blues. It's like coming out at a time when Motley Crue and Poison were trying to like be the big bad boys that year, and Aerosmith actually wins the crown of best quote unquote heavy metal album of the year. It's often overlooked because of the other hits on the album, like Young Lust, Love in an Elevator, The Other Side. I love when Tyler starts it out with his like slow, soft crooning and then goes into the hard rock mode. Most straightforward lyrics of all time, just about getting even with your enemy. Joe, and I'm going to swear, get ready for it. Joe Perry states that this is one of the songs he relates to the most because it's about getting fucked and how to deal.
That's right. Sometimes it's all you can do is get fucked and learn how to deal with it. Like I did at my urologist appointment.
There it is.
You should write that new hit song, Get F'd and Know How to Deal with a Bummer Urologist.
In Love with a Rubber Glove.
He's going to be alone in his principles on that one.
If you're looking at any for any new top 10 single material, that's the topic you're right about.
The Black Crowes like came on the scene with this, you know, swaggering, Stonesy based sound with Shake Your Moneymaker. And a year or so later, they really kind of expanded their sound and added awesome background vocals, Hammond B3 organ, horn section, and released an album that is one of my favorite rock albums of all time, Southern Harmony and Musical Companion. It's a great record. And everybody knows Remedy and all the all the big hits off of that. But there's a really cool tune on there called Hotel Illness. And this is just about, you know, it's about what it, you know, it's about getting, it's about illness. It's about being sick from, you know, having too much fun.
The herp.
So it's a great tune. There's really not much more I could say about it.
I think that the Black Crowes, to stick with that topic for one second, I think Black Crowes, all their albums are like that. I swear that the hit songs are that for a reason. I don't know who was pulling the strings at the time, but there's a lot of tunes. Like, are you going to tell me that, you know, even though it's a cover tune of the Otis Redding song, but I mean, they're most known for a cover song. That's the weird thing about them. But they were already American Rolling Stones and still are. And basically a great bluesy rock and roll band. But I've noticed that every album I've ever heard by them is the songs that are kind of the filler songs are better than the damn hit songs off the record. I just don't know what, you know, who makes the decisions on that. But I guess it's the commercial ability there, you know. So.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, a lot of that is a great album. But I mean, it's their first three records were, I thought, incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool stuff. So check it out. If you haven't heard that album in a while, check out Hotel Illness. Remember, just super easy to stream them. You can, you know, YouTube, whatever. Who's next? Keith.
Okay, what do I got now? I'm going to go to Tool's first studio album. Not the EP, but Undertow. It was known for... Sober was the big song that probably launched their careers as more, you know, a radio-friendly band. But their music mostly isn't that radio-friendly. And it's dark. It's heavy. It's got, you know, the crazy, you know, well-thought-out, crazy, sometimes ridiculous lyrics of Man. But there's a couple songs on that album besides Sober that are actually great songs, like Bottom and Swamp Song. So if I can put, if I can double up on those ones, those two just stand out to me as killer tracks that are probably just not going to be ever as, you know, up there in the ranks of the popular Tool song. But those are just two tracks off that album that I think are really, really good. And a guest appearance by Henry Rollins, the legend, on the song Bottom, where he comes in and does a little dialogue for you.
Hey, what can you say, man? You bring Henry Rollins on you, it's got to be all right.
You know what I mean?
So I know what you mean.
That's two from Undertow. So two from the toe.
Two from the toe. All right, Lily, we got a little time. Go ahead, what do you got?
This one might seem incorrect, but super true. Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles on Abbey Road. Never became a radio staple until the days of satellite and Spotify. It's now one of the most streamed songs of all time at over 350 million streams. They issued a double A-side from the Abbey Road album with Come Together and Something, but George Harrison's song, which is one of my favorite Beatles songs, was strictly for LP people. This one, it's just a happy song. It makes me feel like summer's going to be here soon, and it's warm sounding and just very beautiful. And there's some history behind it because he wrote it at Eric Clapton's country home, which was one of his best friends at the time. And the lyrics reflect his relief at the arrival of spring and the temporary respite that he was experiencing from the band's business affairs. So there was some bad blood within the band, and he was hoping to overcome that with this happy song.
Okay. So. Good pick. I was not aware. There's a website. I want to call some of your attention. On Best Life Online, songs that never charted top 40. There's a lot of songs like that that we all know, but never were on the top 40. Songs like, we talked about Highway to Hell. Songs like the song Highway to Hell.
Was not a hit,
but everybody knows it. Changes by David Bowie. Should I Stay or Should I Go by The Clash. Tiny Dancer by Elton John. This song everybody knows and loves. There's been so many covers of this song. Jolene by Dolly Parton. That had to be a top 10 hit or something, right? Nope. That peaked around number 60.
Wow, that's crazy.
This song is one of these songs that, like Jolene. Here's the one I want to talk about. It's Raining Men by the Weather Girls. You know, everybody knows it, right?
I know
I was
that
on
one.
In a disco, everybody sings right along. It was not a big radio hit. So just one of those things that kind of like things to make you go,
Like who said that was okay?
I'm going to throw one out real quick. I'm going to go to The Boss. We haven't talked about The Boss. Born in the USA, chocked full of hits, just crazy, right? Big hits. But this song there's a haunting track on there called Downbound Train. Just this very haunting, beautiful. It's kind of rocking a little bit in a kind of like, well, kind of like depressing kind of way. But a very haunting track called Downbound Train. And you should listen to it if you've never listened to it. Not a big hit, not one of the up rah 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 kind of songs like Glory Days or Darlington County or one of those types of songs. Kind of a somber tune, but very, very beautiful and very haunting. Downbound Train from Born in the USA by The Boss. What you got, Hawk?
At the very end of the debut album from Rage Against the Machine, there's a song called Freedom. Freedom did have a video made. It's got some Headbangers Ball airplay, I believe, but I don't think the song was ever a huge, huge success for them. There's something about this song that just is... weird. It's just the last song. Like I said, I think it's the last track on the album, and it's the most pissed off, angry piece of music I've heard. And at the time, I was like, they might not be the heaviest band out there, and they're pretty grooving, they're funky, and it's like a cool, different sound at the time. But it's like that song is so pissed off. It was just going to just burst out of the speakers, and that's just a song that kind of just you remember, even if it's not up there. But I've heard that "Killing in the Name Of" is always on the radio, and even "Bomb Track" to Christina's, I've heard at least on some alternative radio station. But "Freedom" probably don't get the credit it deserves. And if you're really, really in a pissed off mood one day, listen to that tune. It'll take you right over the top, man. That is an angry dude talking at that point, and the music just kept. It's a perfect pairing. It's like wine and cheese. His angry ass lyrics with those riffs and that, just that anger. Yeah, that's a. And it even says in the song, "Anger is a gift." I don't know if I agree, but it's a good song.
All right, cool pick. What do you got, Lily? We got time for us to go around the room with a couple more, and then we're gonna move on.
Alrighty, I'm gonna go ahead and talk about Rocket Queen from Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction. We all know the popular songs are "Sweet Child of Mine," "Welcome to the Jungle," "Paradise City," "Night Train." This is not one of the ones that have ever gotten any radio play. I can imagine why it hasn't, because there's a lot of sex things going on.
Sex
in the song.
Things,
like the moaning.
Lily, now wait a minute.
Oh boy,
we can't have sex things on the podcast.
We can actually, but because Adriana Smith, who was the groupie doing the dirty with Axl Rose in the recording booth, doing all her moans and having an orgasm on the album, that's probably why it never made it to the radio. But it's supposedly about this woman named Barbie, who was the Rocket Queen that Axl Rose was in love with, and she was a madam. She had this reputation in Hollywood, and I guess everybody slept with her. And I guess a couple other people wrote songs about her, but this is the one that's about her. And Adriana Smith was the one who provided the moaning and orgasm in the song. So.
You know, you can never ever just give enough credit to a girl to play as a team player like that. Like anything you need
she
for the team,
did it for
they
the band.
They play right along, no matter what you need.
It's all about the art.
In the biography or in the thing I saw on TV, she says, "I did it for the band." I'm like, there you go.
That's what awesome. I like to do. Man, woman, put that team first and go with
it. I
would have said the same thing about "It's So Easy." It's probably a song that you don't really think of. It's not up there with these, "Sweet Child of Mine" of the world. But it's, the second track on the album?
But it's trying to please me. Please,
and it's
man.
Just a it's really catchy, good rocking song, man.
It's good rock tune.
It definitely has it uses a different vocal style, a little deeper on that one. So it's kind of a. That's a song that I think that, it's tough to pick on that album too, because everything's so good on a record, but that's one that I think probably doesn't get enough.
None of us, and I'm not going to mention one because I forgot, none of us mentioned any Van Halen songs, and there's tons of their stuff that's very cool that not really radio that never really weren't, on a classic
maybe
tracks weekend.
Deep cuts.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. It'd be like Top Jimmy or something.
Yeah, Top Jimmy, little guitars. I mean, there's, tons of just like real gems just tucked away on their albums. But
I don't think I'm the one. We discussed that before. That's my favorite Van Halen song. I don't think it was a huge hit,
Yeah.
That's like Van Halen to me. If anybody was new to Van Halen, never heard him before, I'm like, here, check this shit out.
Yeah, good idea. Good one. I'm going to throw out real quick. Everybody knows this album this is the song that really got you two on the pop charts. And that was "Pride in the Name of Love," right? And everybody's tired. I know Keith's going, "I can't believe you're talking about this." But
I know you're going to go to the one album I think that you're going to. And you're probably going to pick the same one I did.
Well, I'm going to pick a song on this album. And that is the title track, which is, again, like the Springsteen song I mentioned before, is this beautiful, haunting song with killer guitar and keyboard work by Edge. Beautiful vocals, really kind of just like a haunting driving track. It's called "The Unforgettable Fire." I could not tell you what the song is about. I half the time don't know what the hell Bono is singing about. I don't think he does either. But it's a really cool tune. Have you ever heard it, Keith? It's a really cool tune.
Yes, I was going to another album, but it's kind of hard to.
So I'm going to throw "The Unforgettable Fire" by you two from "The Unforgettable Fire." Go ahead, Keith.
That's we'll just go to the Joshua Tree then, and it's tons of hit songs on that record, but I think that "Bullet to Blue Sky" doesn't get as much. I know they played it live a lot, but it's not like a radio staple for them, and I barely hear it at all. But it is a song that I think has a which it's a rare song for you too, because it features like a really driving bass line. It's got that. I mean, he does that a lot of that simple playing, but it's like almost he's out front in that tune. It's just bass and drums most of the song.
Okay, and there's some cool. I have a theory about that song. Keith, come back.
Oh no,
what happened?
Hold on a minute. I fell.
Okay, I have a theory about that song. I think that song is a kind of like post grunge song that came out in the 80s. Now, hear me out. It reminds me a little bit of Hey Man, Nice Shot by Filter or one of those type of songs. I think if that song would have came out like in 93, 94, I think it would have been massive. I think it would have been just like inescapable song. Just a little bit before ahead of time. The Joshua Tree second side with Red Hill Mining Town, Trip Through Your Wires, all these, they're amazing songs, never made the radio, but they're killer. I'm very familiar with that album, dude. I had that my senior year in high school. I came home from school every day and played that album over and over.
Well, I mean, that's an album. It's a great album from start to finish, but you do get a lot of like those radio play songs, but I think that song is kind of a heavier driving tune
for
them.
Great song. It's kind of
funny they didn't try to, just to give it a little bit more versatility. I mean, there's just, it's great. Isn't Who's Gonna Ride Your Wild Horses on that album, or is that not
that's not on that album, no.
That's a great song, too. That's probably another one that...
But good picks. Good pick, Keith. Good pick. All right. We each do what you... That was Keith's last one. This is Lily's last one.
Okay. Black Juju, Alice Cooper, on the album Love It to Death. It's a 9-minute song that I think it's overlooked a lot. Great song. It's super... It's long, dark, and terrifying, in my opinion.
That's how you like it, isn't it?
That's
long,
dark and terrifying.
as most Alice's music is.
There's this really cool organ part that's derived from Pink Floyd's Set the Controls for the Heart of the Sun. And the band named the song after a stray dog. So just a cool song. A little lengthy for some people. It is 9 minutes, but just give it a try. I think you'll like it.
My last one, real quick, is from an album Keith already mentioned, Bad Motorfinger, Soundgarden, Room 1,000 Years Wide. Again, it's I must be in a haunting kind of mood, because it's another one of these songs that's like kind of droney and haunting and stuff. Beautiful melody. Check it out. Cool stuff, guys. Good picks. Does the audience have any?
Beth? The Warning by Queensryche, Deliverance and Road to Madness. That's one of her favorite albums. Cool. So, good pick. And that looks like that is the only other suggestion on here.
But talking.
People are talking. That was when we couldn't hear Marty.
I'm sorry, Marty.
Marty said rain check, though, for next time.
Okay, brother. We'll get it figured out. We'll get you on again. this was a lot of fun today, guys.
Happy birthday to Eddie Van Halen today.
What?
So says Chris Thunderwolf.
Okay, well, Chris Thunderwolf Dodson, if he says it, that I believe it, that settles it. His word is the word.
There's two
of the
things
wolf.
To tell the truth in the world, Chris Dodson and the internet.
And there it is.
you can pick one.
On this day in 1965, another Keith was touring Australia and New Zealand and had his shirt torn off after 50 fans invaded the stage during the gig at a town hall in Brisbane. What Keith was that?
Moon?
The one that's going to live forever.
The one that's going to live forever.
Keith Richards. Yeah, that's... I thought maybe they were attacking Moon the Loon behind the drums or something.
Moon the Loon! I mean, legit.
On this day in 1968... We'll stump the Keith.
No, okay.
It's not fair. We're just kidding. We're just having fun. Not intentional. Okay, this band played their first gig without... I'll make it easy. This band played their first gig on this day in 1968 without their singer, Syd Barrett. Who was it?
Pink Floyd?
Yes. Supported by the band Tyrannosaurus Rex, which shortened its name later to T-Rex.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, who sang the song You're 16? Got a hit with it in 1974 in this day.
You're 16?
You're 16. I'll give you a hint. It's a drummer. How many singing drummers do you know that put out hits in the 70s?
Karen Carpenter?
You know what? You had to pick the... Ringo Starr.
I'm a male.
But that's a good... all right. That's a good one. I forgot about Karen Carpenter, but that was good. You're thinking too much.
That's
you're
from.
You're 16 and you're my marathon.
So who's singing drummers that are hits in the 70s? I mean, it's
Ringo
Starr, a lot.
Definitely.
Ringo. Yeah, okay.
Hell yeah, dude. It had big hits in the 70s. The 70s was Ringo's era, man. He, like, ruled. All I've got is a photograph. You know?
Yeah, I
don't smoke it. No, my head, like, one after the other.
I'd much rather hear him play drums instead of saying, to be honest with you. But,
but he's got such a beautiful voice.
I know, him and that.
He was not the greatest singer in the Beatles. That is for sure. They knew that.
I don't think that. That's not what he got hired for, I wouldn't think. You know,
well, they talked about like how they would pick. So they wanted him to sing because they recognized that his voice had a certain character to it. But they had to pick stuff that he could pull off.
It was more the kitschy kind of goofy stuff.
Yeah. They had him sing sort of, you know, fun kind of songs. On this day in 1977, former Fleetwood Mac guitarist Peter Green was committed to a mental hospital following an incident when he threatened his accountant, Clifford Adams, with an air rifle when he was trying to deliver a £30,000 royalty check to him.
Wow.
Get away from me with that royalty check.
Who wants that kind of stuff?
Wow.
Keep that money away from me, boy.
Oh, man. You know... If it wasn't bad enough that, you know, three of the Skynyrd folks died in the crash? Was it three?
Four. I don't remember how many.
But in 1986, Alan Collins goes and crashes his car, paralyzing himself from the waist down and killing his girlfriend, Deborah Jean Watts. Collins had survived a plane crash in 77 that killed two other band members. So, like...
They have a lot of bad luck.
Yeah, man. That's why they're, like, on Fox News talking about Jesus and stuff now.
Right.
Are they really? Dude, like which members? Rossi's the only one left, right?
No, they're tight. Well, they're doing the rah rah, you know, good old boy country kind of. You know, they're appealing to that crowd. You know what I mean? I mean all the people that like modern country. You know, they like Skynyrd too. I mean, essentially those people stole Skynyrd's gig. That's essentially what they did. Called the country music. On this day in 1991, Queen had their second UK number one with Innuendo. It's 6 minutes and 30 seconds. It exceeded their epic Bohemian Rhapsody by 35 seconds. So if any band can do it,
Queen can.
Queen can do it. Queen dooted it.
That Freddie Mercury.
In 2003, Billy Joel was airlifted to hospital after his car smashed into a tree. The singer lost control of his Mercedes and skidded for 100 yards before crashing. Wow, that's a long skid. The accident happened in the Hamptons, New York.
Well, that's a nice stretch of road, though, unless it was packed going to the beach.
In 2004, John Lydon, better known as Johnny Rotten, was one of 10 contestants to take part in the latest I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here UK TV show set in the Australian Outback. The former Sex Pistols singer was seen by 11 million viewers on his first night covered in birdseed being pecked by giant ostriches.
Man, I didn't see that.
He was paid £25,000 to appear on the show, but walked off the jungle set after 4 days.
I mean, I would pass the day, let's be real.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, here. We got some birthdays. And Eddie Van
Halen.
That's one
crazy bastard.
I don't know. There's something about him I like. I mean, he's not like necessarily.
Oh, he's funny.
Great...
He's a funny guy. Every interview, it's just cusses and just the desk. He always, sometimes he tries to interview the actual interviewer. He does the old switcheroo on him. He just starts asking him questions.
She's just kind of an Americana alternative country artist. Are you familiar with Lucinda Williams?
Yeah.
That's her birthday today.
Good. She's still going, I'm sure.
Yeah. She has this... if you guys have never heard the album, Car Wheels on a Gravel Road, it's a masterpiece. All killer, no filler. Great in that sort of alt-country Americana. Thank you, Chris Thunderwolf Dodson. It is Eddie Van Halen's birthday. 1955, Dutch guitarist with Van Halen. He was the Dutch guitarist in Van Halen.
Yeah, I don't like trying to pronounce his last name for real.
Van Halen. okay. Who else had it? Anita Baker, born this day in 1958. great soul singer, right?
Yep.
Rhythm, old, 80s rhythm and blues artist. Tom Kiefer, the vocalist and guitarist from the band Cinderella, was born this day. Andrew Wrigley.
Oh, he's my mom's
Andrew Ridgely, Wrigley? Ridgely.
Ridgely.
Ridgely. It's Ridgely.
Ah, one half of Wham.
He was the other guy in Wham.
He was the other guy in Wham. The other Whammer.
The other guy. Most commonly known as.
He lived,
you know that band with George Michael and that other dude? Well, that's what a lot of times what you get.
check this out. He lives with his girlfriend, Karen Woodward, of the pop group Bananarama.
Oh, I didn't even know.
They still, that's, I mean, that's been like from, I think you're reading the old 80s news.
Susanna Melvoin, American vocalist, songwriter, worked with Prince, Roger Waters, Eric Clapton, Mike Oldfield as a songwriter, has co-written songs performed by Madonna, Eric Clapton, and Prince. Happy birthday, 1964. So, all good stuff, guys. So, Keith?
Yep.
Random. What's up? Anything good? Anything you want to add before we wrap up for today?
I'm going to play a gig February 19th.
Woohoo!
Are you
Let's
now?
Hope. Let's hope. I got a new thing happening. It's actually like a four-piece little funk band. And it's mostly original stuff right now. And there's going to be some mashups, I guess we'll call it, extended later. That's just more like extended jams with songs you might actually know popped into an already existing riff. Yeah, there's a lot of sometimes a little too much excessive jamming going on, which is, you know, not my thing. But we'll see where it goes. So far, so good.
Excessive jamming is fine if
I'm dying. My battery's dying.
Is it?
Oh no!
Like my liver, yes.
okay, dude. Well, anyways, cool. Okay, thanks, bro. A shout out to Jim Vernon who added today: "Emerald" by Thin Lizzy, "Phantom Rider" by Tora Tora, "Elephant Gun" by David Lee Roth, and "Get Out of My Yard" by Paul Gilbert. Good picks. Thank you, Jim.
That's deep.
Yeah, he was really digging deep. Those are good
I
ones.
Like it. That's some shit I never even heard of before. I was like, damn. Oh,
it's good what? Stuff. Lily?
If you want me to talk about my show, it's Hot Licks with Lily 6, right. Thursdays at 6 p.m., rockrageradio.com, or you can download the free app, Rock Rage Radio, to your smartphone. Listen in. I got all new music this week.
And I witnessed a shooting today. There was a guy who shot and killed next to my business.
I witnessed one, too. Some brothers up the street shot a raccoon in the head.
This wasn't a raccoon. This was a person who was with his fiance and child. It was one baby daddy shooting another baby daddy is what it was.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So
you
guys get too many baby daddies. They get pissed off. And then, you know.
Do not collect them
baby daddies. You don't want an excessive amount of baby daddies.
It was crazy. I'm not right from it. I'm like.
It's not a homicide or what?
Oh, it is.
We're talking straight up dead,
then. Dude. Yeah, cops everywhere. Oh no, the guy was dead, shot in the head. Boom, on the ground.
Are you going to be a witness to a murder?
I'll send you the picture. I have a picture of it. I'll send it to you. I send it to you.
Playing Kolchak the Night Stalker. What are you taking pictures of dead bodies for?
Yeah,
he said it to me. I'm like, oh my god, what's going on?
Yeah, it's crazy, dude. It's really crazy. You don't see the body.
I got a whole story to like not to, I'd say match it. But I don't know if this guy was dead, but that was very gruesome. One time I've seen something.
I guess the guy left the scene and he drove to Manesson and shot another guy.
And then I heard he was hiding out in Trinity Point.
People love to shoot people. I don't know what it is.
It's thinning the herd.
Yeah. Hasn't COVID done that enough?
No. We're not nearly done.
COVID
with that.
Doesn't kill people.
Right? Don't worry. Our new government, God bless them, will get us into another war. So we'll get to thin the herd a little bit more. You know,
they already sent $4 billion to Central America to help them do something. I don't know,
it's coming. Personal.
You know, open up the borders. Let them all come in, Joe. Bring them during a pandemic, Joe. Let them all come in.
So, guys, thanks so much for hanging out with the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Go to lulombardimusic.com for more great stuff. Get on my mailing list. I send out cool, fun emails every week for everybody. So check it out. You find out about new music and new bands. And we are going to get Marty Catani back on here soon. We had some technical difficulties tonight. I apologize to him. And we will get that worked out. He's a really cool dude. And he's got a cool thing going on. Check out his, in the meantime, check out his website at martytunes.com. Shout out to Rock Rage Radio. Love you guys. You guys support the show. You get it out to a lot of people. It's where a lot of our listeners come from. We do appreciate that. As well as our friend, one more time, Chris Thunderwolf Dodson at wolfscustoms.online. Go to wolfscustoms.online. Get yourself a custom job. Custom job. Right, Lily?
Yes. I'm going to bring my cowbell right to him.
Keith the Hawk Hawkins, it was great seeing you, my brother.
Yeah, man.
All right, man.
Everybody. Just give me what you're working on for the next time around.
And we'll talk about it in the chat. So, all right, guys, have a great week. We'll catch you all on the next, if I get the thing here, on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Take care, guys.